Alaska distilleries get the legislature's okay to keep serving cocktails. And the Skagway Assembly and White Pass continue correspondence on port improvements. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. The Alaska legislature gave distilleries the green light to continue serving cocktails last week. It comes after months of uncertainty for manufacturers throughout the state. Skagway's one distillery, Skagway Spirits, will mark its first anniversary in June. Lucas Hager's family owns the business that started serving drinks just as confusion began developing over the practice of mixing cocktails in tasting rooms. A new interpretation of the law that allows tasting rooms to operate by the state's Alcoholic Beverage Control Board called into question whether mixed drinks could be part of that operation. Hager says he has, quote, mixed emotions about the legislature's clarification.
Definitely frustration. To one degree or another, but we're happy that we're still able to mix cocktails at this moment, and are hopeful that in the next session things will go a little bit more smoothly and we won't have so many things just kind of coming out of left field.
The new language came through a last-minute bill amendment by a lawmaker and beverage dispensary license holder. Fairbanks Democratic Representative Adam Wohl offered the language after legislation known as SB 76 that would have overhauled the state's alcohol laws was taken off the table for now. Wohl says when SB 76 failed to move through the legislature, he looked to address the cocktail issue elsewhere.
I really thought Title IV was going to pass with the cocktail language on it, but since it didn't, I told people I would do my best to get cocktails out there, and that was the best place to do it.
His amendment was ultimately included in a surprising place, in SB 45.
Which is a contractor's sort of licensing bill. And because they all had licensing in them, the amendment was able to be put on there.
The new language allows distillery license holders to combine the distillery's product, alcohol manufactured on site, with other ingredients. It does not allow distilleries to serve drinks mixed with alcohol not produced on site. Pete Hansen is president and CEO of Alaska Char. He says he sees the new language on cocktails as a necessary clarification.
The rules have been confusing up until now. Some regulations were put in place, but weren't actually enforced, and people have been confused as to what can actually go on. So frankly, this needed to be clarified. It's a good thing that it's clarified, and the distilleries can essentially go on what they've been doing already.
Hager from Skagway Spirits says his business is looking ahead to when Title IV comes back to the legislature.
We're hopeful that we'll get the support that we need from our lawmakers and legislators.
For now, the state's 10 distilleries are cleared to continue shaking, stirring, mixing, and selling most cocktails. The Skagway Assembly met behind closed doors last night to discuss correspondence with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. In April, the municipality sent White Pass a letter through its attorney proposing a new way forward on port improvements. The city wants to renovate the ore dock to make way for a new generation of larger cruise ships in coming years. But the railroad has a lease on that dock until 2023. The two parties had been working toward a new lease agreement, but after a cruise company proposed a partnership with the city, the assembly suspended lease negotiations. In its April letter to White Pass, the municipality proposed a new way forward. It includes White Pass allowing the city to access its leased areas to make dock improvements. Under the proposal, the new floating dock would be owned solely by the municipality. The city would also pay for the construction. The municipality suggests net cruise ship revenue generated by the floating dock would be shared equally until the end of the White Pass lease. The letter also points to the dredging and cleanup of the ore basin. It says White Pass should begin work within 30 days of the end of the 2018 cruise ship season. And the city would contribute up to $1.5 million toward dredging and remediation. In a response on May 11th, White Pass notes its disappointment with the municipality's decision to end lease negotiations, but says the railroad, quote, would be remiss, end quote, not to engage in a discussion with the city. White Pass also points to a mutual understanding that the railroad owns the existing and future dock assets under the term of the lease. In regards to the cleanup of the ore basin, White Pass says it's in the process of an Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation risk assessment of the area and is moving toward a remediation plan. After discussing the correspondence in executive session, the Assembly voted to have Mayor Monica Carlson send a response to White Pass. That response will be public once it's sent. Two more candidates have joined the race for the state Senate seat representing Juneau and Northern Southeast. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Jesse Keel is the latest to announce his intentions. The Juneau Assembly member tossed his hat into the ring at a Thursday campaign rally across the street from the Capitol.
I'm here today to make it official. I am running for Senate District Q to represent Juneau, Haines, Skagway, Clukwan, Gustavus, and Excursion in the Alaska State Senate.
Keel resigned his job as an aide to incumbent Democrat Dennis Egan the day before he announced his plans. Egan is not seeking re-election. Keel is a Democrat and will be on the party's August 21st primary ballot, but he said he would consider working with Republicans if he's elected.
I think coalitions are a great opportunity to work together for Alaska. I worked as a staffer in a bipartisan majority, and I think that's a fabulous opportunity. I'll pursue that actively.
Another recently announced Juneau Senate candidate is Don Etheridge. The longtime labor leader and lobbyist served one term on the Juneau Assembly about 20 years ago. He's been an active member of Juneau's Docks and Harbors Board. Etheridge is a nonpartisan candidate who will skip the primaries and run in the November 6th general election. He says not being a party member will make it easier to get things done.
You can't just go in there with a locked-in position and not willing to work on issues. And as a long-time negotiator with the unions, you learn how to do that.
Like Keel, Etheridge listed fighting crime and boosting the economy as priorities. He's also focused on improving unemployment benefits.
We spend millions and millions of dollars every year training workers to do these jobs. And then when we have a big downturn and they can't afford to stay here and they start going south, a lot of times they don't come back.
Fisheries Corporation CEO Larry Cotter is also a candidate for the same Senate seat. The nonpartisan will only run in the general election. Cotter announced his political intentions in late January. Other candidates could also join Juneau's legislative races. The final filing deadline is June 1st. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins.